the $100,000 of land is going to stay like it is. But remember, when you bought that property, you just didn't buy the building. You bought some ceiling fans, carpet, some cabinets. There's things in that building that has a shorter life than 39 years. On the settlement statement, it doesn't break that out for you.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, hello and welcome to the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. I'm your host, and today's topic, we're in a multi-part series on tax updates for investors. And today is the part two of a 6-part episode series on tax updates for today's real estate investor. And you're blessed, and we are blessed to have special real estate investor tax guy, Eric Shadowin, CPA. And without further ado, we're just going to jump right into it because we got a big topic. But if you haven't listened to the first episode, go back and listen to that and then come back here. And as always, okay, Eric loves real estate investing himself, and he's a real estate investor's tax guy, and he's got a free gift for you here at the end. So this is a big topic here, and I hope we can knock this out in one episode, but depreciation, the 7-syllable word, okay? And we could do a whole day workshop on that, couldn't we, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I always like to tell everybody depreciation. There's not a single CPA in the United States that knows it well. It's so complicated that it just, we'll get into it, but it can get really complicated trying to understand depreciation expense.
Okay. Before we get started, I'm just going to share my experience to take a look at depreciation. And there's a plan A and a plan B. And sometimes this is not shared with real estate investors when you hear it from some self-proclaimed gurus, okay? And depreciation has been very wonderful to Mike, okay? It's awesome. But anyway, here's plan A or plan B. So let's say you're in the same position I was when I got started. You got a job and you like real estate and you got your earned income from, what do you get at the end of your W-2? Is that right, Eric?
Your gross taxable wages?
From your employer?
Yeah, your W-2.
Okay, so that's W-2. So that's earned income that you got to pay income tax on. You got withholding and all. But you want to invest in real estate to pursue and maybe achieve true financial independence and to take care of you as your pension. Okay, so let's talk about plan A. That's me. And then we can talk about plan B with Eric. So plan A is this. Back when I got started back in the previous millennium, I asked my CPA, what do the old timers complain about? And I wanted to learn what to expect going down this road in real estate investing. They said all the old timers, the seasoned veteran old pros, they complain about having to pay income tax. And I said, so why is that? And he said, because they ran out of depreciation. They burned up their depreciation. So depreciation is a phantom expense that lowers your taxable income right now. Okay. And so they burn it up. So in addition to having their properties paid for, so they have no more mortgage interest expense to lower their income, they also don't have any depreciation. So they have to pay income tax because they don't have any depreciation. So I said, all right. I asked my CPA, so how can I prevent that from happening to me? And I'm paraphrasing what he told me, but basically it's pile on depreciation. Keep piling it on, piling it on, piling it on. And so I want, and he says, you want your, well, I figured out and made a decision that I wanted my real estate appreciation to outlive me. Okay. So I asked him, I said, well, how can I pull that off? Because I've read up on depreciation and man, that's complicated. And he said, the easiest way, Mike, he says, you'll never get in trouble if you capitalize a repair expense. Okay. But you could get in trouble if you try to take what should be a capitalized improvement and you try to write it off as a repair expense. Okay, so here's what I did. So every time I wrote a check for $500 or more on a property after it's in service, I capitalized it. Okay, and that's what I did. And so let me just jump right to today with the benefit. Okay, anytime I wrote a check $500 or more, I capitalized it. Yeah, that reduced my repair expenses. Yeah, it increased my income, but I got to the point to where my depreciation was erasing all of my income, even while I had my job. Unbelievable. And so I love depreciation. So I would hear other speakers and gurus, and you're going to hear from Eric too, on how to make that happen faster, to burn it up faster, to get a bigger benefit now. But if I've got enough depreciation going on right now that erases all of my income, you don't want to do something that's going to burn it up faster. Okay. So now jump to today. Like I started to say, I had the IRS send me a nasty grant. We're going to audit you. We need 3 years back this, bank statements, QuickBooks, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh. Talk about being terrified, losing sleep, scared to death. Called my CPA. Yeah, I got to have a meeting with them. And this went on for 12 months. We probably had 10 or 11 meetings, bringing in more stuff, answering questions, bringing more documents, doing this, doing that, going back and forth. And let me ask you this. How many people do you know or have heard of the IRS doing an audit, not just 1 year, 3 years of everything they own? And how many of them had to pay additional income tax, late fees, penalties, interest, whatever? Okay. To this day, I don't know anybody that's had an audit that did not have to write a check for more money to be paid to the IRS. That's me. That's what we thought. That's what I believed. I had a buddy of mine go through basically the same thing. He had to write a check for $225,000. Oh my gosh. Isn't that terrifying? So anyway, I'll go through all this. And our very last meeting was to give, they're going to give me the results of their audit. And so I'm expecting, oh, brutal. I come out of that thing with a green light and no additional income tax, no late fees, no penalties, no interest, 100% A-OK. Yeah, they found some minor things I needed to correct. But as far as, wow, my CPA dropped his jaw. Never heard of that before. And I said, can I share this? And he said, absolutely. So this is a plug for my Investor Books Pro system with tenant tracking. You use it as I teach it and you'll be fine with the IRS. Okay, because I just survived that and he had a true test. So, and then so at the very last meeting, I asked him, I said, what was the red flag or what caused you guys to audit me? And here's what they told me. Listen to this. Because you had $1,800,000 in losses carried forward. It got kicked out of the system. That was a red flag. And that's why we're auditing you, because that ain't normal. Okay. Now, what did I tell you right before I told you this? I survived the audit. I survived a 3-year deep dive audit. Everything I own, I got a green light. Okay. So piling on depreciation really benefited me. Even still to this day, I've got so much in losses carried forward. I can make a whole bunch of money in a year or two or whatever and still not have to pay any income tax. Now that's plan A, and I love that. Now plan B, I'm going to do my short version. This is for folks who have a whole lot of income that are in a higher tax bracket and they want to lower that income today. Okay. And Eric is an expert on that. And so how'd I do, Eric?
I think you did pretty well.
Okay.
If we're talking plan B now.
Yeah.
So if you use Mike's example, we'll start with this. You're a commercial investor and you went out and you bought $1 million property. What normally happens when that information gets to your tax advisor, I'll request your settlement statement and I'll take that $1 million and I'll chop it up. I'll chop it up into an amount for land. Let's just say it's $100,000. And the remaining amount, that $900,000, you're going to depreciate that over 39 years as it's a commercial property. If you do nothing else, then you're depreciating $900,000 over 39 years. But what you may have heard of, because investors are really smart, they're getting on bigger pockets and they're educating themselves. And in some cases, they're doing it themselves. They're DIYs. Unfortunately, in some cases, some investors might find something that sounds interesting like COSEG, and they're trying to fit that into their situation, and what you're reading is not always unique to you. So what a cost segregation is, going back to my example, the $100,000 of land is going to stay like it is. But remember, when you bought that property, you just didn't buy the building. You bought some ceiling fans, you bought some carpet, you bought some cabinets. There's things in that building that has a shorter life than 39 years. On the settlement statement, it doesn't break that out for you. So you can actually do a cost segregation, and that will break out the $900,000 into shorter life assets. And you would have 5, 7, 15-year type assets, and they would be depreciated. So there's a difference in cost segs. I gave you the example of a commercial building of $1 million. You might, in that situation, have an engineered cost segregation. And what that means is you have a third party in a lot of cases. Yona Weiss is a good cost segregator. And here locally, Karen Koch and Source Advisors is someone that I use frequently. I'm really good at providing service.
They will call this service? What's the service called so they can look it up in their town?
Well, cost segregation, if you Google cost segregation, you'll find a ton of cost segregators out there. KG.com is another company that does cost segregations. But there's several around the United States that you can talk to. But what I would recommend is call your tax advisor first and discuss cost segregation, and then have them involved in the conversation with the third party. But going back to my example, the commercial property, if you contract that third party, they're going to go out and send an engineer, and he or she's going to go out and walk the property. And as they're walking through the property, they're going to see different types of shorter life assets that they can break down that $900,000 cost into a 5, 7, or 15-year property. Those cost segregations can be expensive. You're talking maybe $20,000 in sometimes to do that type of cost segregation. But the benefit you're going to get out of it far out exceeds the cost that you're going to have put into it. Because I haven't gotten to the actual tax savings yet, but just understand the engineered cost seg is something that's generally expensive, but you and your tax advisor are going to have that discussion, and you're not going to do it unless it makes sense to do it. So let's talk maybe a small investor. You have a small investor that goes out and buys a single family residence. And they purchase it for maybe $150,000. The one I'm aware of, I'm sure there's other out there, but KBKG.com has a residential cost segregation that you can do.
KBKG.com?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay.
And if you go to their website, you could do a small investor cost segregation, and it costs about $450 to do it. And you go online and you fill out a series of questions. It's a series of checkboxes. And what you're doing, it's asking you what you have in your property. Maybe you have some carpet. Maybe you have ceiling fans. Maybe you have appliances. The boxes you check, which you want to be accurate, you don't want to check every box, it is going to calculate a segregated cost based on what you're feeding it into that website. And it's reputable. You get a report, and it's something that you can file with your tax return. But that's something that you can do with that type of company for a small cost segregation. And once you do that, you get accelerated depreciation out of it. Generally, you can look somewhere between 10 and 20% of the depreciable value of the building is broken down into a shorter life asset. And I want to point out with KBKG.com, the property would have to be less than $600,000 depreciable value, and there has to be less than 6 units. If you meet those conditions, then doing a cost seg on that website, you'd be eligible to do the cost seg.
And what was the other? Was number of units or something?
Yeah, six units or less.
Oh, 6 units or less.
Okay. And that includes condos. So if you have 1 unit in a condominium structure, then you could do the cost seg through them. But what that does is you're breaking your costs down into shorter life assets. And anybody can do a cost seg. That's great. You're going to accelerate depreciation, super on your tax return. There's conditions when it's not, and here's one condition, which we won't get into a deep conversation about it, but if you're a passive investor, a cost seg may not make sense for you at all. You can go out and spend the $450 and do the cost segregation, accelerate the depreciation, which is included with all your other expenses. You have this big loss, and as a passive investor, if you can't free that loss up with your W-2 income or other non-passive type income, then it just gets suspended. You've wasted your money on a cost segregation and something that it wouldn't have been wise to have done it. So that's where the tax advisor comes in. You want to make sure you have a conversation with them before you do the cost segregation.
I can add something here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we just created a hybrid plan for depreciation. Thank you, Eric. You know, like the hybrid cars, those Toyota Priuses and stuff, yeah. The hybrid vehicles. Well, now we got a hybrid depreciation plan. So let's say you're like me when you got started, you got a job and you're doing real estate, okay, and you want to get bigger bang for the buck and lower your income now to erase that W-2 income so you don't have to pay any income tax. Well, I see where you could do cost segregation right now when you get started to lower your income to achieve, you don't have to pay any income tax. But as your depreciation grows, you keep buying more properties, pay attention to that. And then there's going to be a point to where your depreciation wipes out all your income without doing cost seg. And that's when you would start piling it on.
Yes.
So and then the hybrid version.
The hybrid version. I like that. I'll also point out, because we can go in a lot of different directions in this conversation. One thing I want to make sure that I point out is if you buy a property, it's going to be a long-term hold. You're not going to do a cost segregation for a property if you're flipping. And that property that's a long-term hold, if you decide you're going to sell it after a year or two, a cost segregation doesn't make sense. And this kind of goes back to maybe what Mike is talking about with his plan A. If you do this cost segregation, you're accelerating all this depreciation into this year. But if you turn around and sell it, it may have been a bad idea because you might get a big reduction in your tax liability this year. But let's just say you turn around and sell it next year, you've turned that depreciation you're taking, the accelerated depreciation, into recapture, which means you're going to be taxed at a higher rate on that recapture depreciation. So a cost
segregation. It'll show bigger profit. It'll show bigger profit is what it's going to do.
Yes. And then something, if you're holding it for a longer period, that's long-term hold, then that's when a cost segregation would make a whole lot better sense. The other thing I want to mention is, you know, I keep on talking about accelerating depreciation, 5, 7, and 15-year life. Well, there is bonus depreciation as part of this. This is what makes the cost segregation even better. And this is why it's so hot right now. I've gone through, I think, 10 cost segregations in the last couple months, because now we're in 2023, but you can still do a cost segregation now for your 2022 tax year. And going back to how that cost is allocated, once you determine the amount for your 5, 7, and 15-year property, it doesn't get depreciated for the 5, 7, 15 years. It's a maker's method. What happens is you get to take bonus depreciation. And bonus depreciation for 2022 is 100%. So if we go back to my example of $900,000 commercial building and say 20% of that was allocated into, let's just say for now, a 5-year property, just for simple terms, that's $180,000 of 5-year property, which you can choose to take bonus depreciation that gives you $180,000 expense today from the purchase of that property.
Okay. Let me tell you guys something. This is hurting my head a little bit, but it's all good news. It's all great stuff for us. And here's the thing. My CPA, the bill that I pay him every year is well worth it, because guess what? You're not a tax expert. I'm not a tax expert. But if you get Eric on your team, okay, imagine this. Good CPA, like, sort of kind of schools you on this, like Eric does, on stuff you didn't know. And he applies it to your unique situation. So he's given us tidbits of stuff that can benefit us as investors. Okay. And some of it you can use, some of it you'll use later, some of it you use now and not use it later. And this is incredible. You're awesome, Eric. Keep going.
Thanks. Well, let's go back to our example of a smaller investor, because again, if you're a small investor and you're out looking on bigger pockets, which I'll give a shout out to Brandon Hall and Michael Plax. I think Eamon McElroy, and there's a few others. They don't know who I am, but if you go to the forums on bigger pockets and you ask questions, those guys are tax experts and they're fantastic. I don't have a problem with doing that, because anywhere you can go to get good information, those three for sure are the types of people that can provide good information. So going back to, if you're out just studying, trying to learn about different ways to make your investing business better, you know, read from people that knows what they're talking about and don't do it yourself. Definitely have, I always like to talk about having a team of advisors, and you might have your coach, you have your insurance guy or gal, you have a realtor, a lender. Make sure you have an attorney and a tax advisor in there, and somebody that you can lean on and ask questions to all the time. When I work with clients, yes, Mike, when I work with clients, I always tell them, calls or emails don't cost anything. Always feel free to give me a call or email me with your questions, because I don't want you out making mistakes during the year. I want to have that conversation. I just don't want to be preparing your tax return. I want to advise you. But going back to the depreciation part with the small investor, you hear cost segregation and you get all excited. I like to say, you know, you're driving through the drive-through at McDonald's and you're ordering cost segregations because you just heard it and you think it's awesome. But in reality, you may not even need a cost segregation. It boils down to, you know, if you can break out the cost yourself, if you're getting invoices for rehab costs that you're doing, and you can allocate a portion to carpet, or you can allocate a portion to appliances, there's no need for a cost segregation. You're already doing it yourself. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And it's something that your tax advisor can help you with. If you feel lost, definitely get with them and have that conversation so that you understand it better. Because an example of sometimes when I have clients give me their information, what I find often is if I'm looking through their books, we're looking at the profit and loss statement, and we get into looking at repairs, I like to dig into information a lot in the detail. Because if I see, you know, $60,000 in repairs, at least that number for a home that they just purchased that was $90,000, I'm starting to ask questions, and I have some red flags going off in my head that I want to ask them, you know, well, what did you spend for $60,000? Because there is a time when you actually have to capitalize that cost, and there's a time that you can treat it as a repair and expense it.
I'll say this. Here's my rule of thumb that I've been taught is when you buy a property, you buy single family houses, you're going to make it a rental. Well, not only the cost of that investment includes closing costs, title insurance, and all that. That gets added into your asset account for that single family house. Now, here's something that kind of shocked me when I got started. Everything that I do to that house before I put a tenant in it all gets added to the cost of that investment, which means it gets capitalized. Okay. And that's a hard one to remember, especially if you're getting started. So I just want to point that out. The other thing is, and with this one, I knew this one would go a while. If you want to get IRS publication 527, it's residential rental property, including rental of vacation homes. And this is a 2021, the latest. Go to mikebutler.com/527 and you can get your entire IRS publication 527 for free. Okay. And that is good. You need to, I would say, if you're in that business, you need to read it. Okay. And that'll help you ask questions with Eric. So we're about anything else on depreciation, because we need to wrap this episode up.
I think that's all I'm going to cover right now.
Okay. So just for you spending time with me and Eric today, Eric's got a special free gift for you. He's offered a free real estate investor tax consultation. Okay. And I'm going to say this, even if you're happy with your CPA and doing all this and that, if you get a free consultation with Eric, why not contact him? And then he can review your tax returns and make some comments and this and that. You know, he can come out and say, wow, looks great. Or you could add a little bit more here. He's not about trying to beat up on your CPA. He's about trying to help you run your real estate business with the least amount of taxes. Okay. That's what we all want to do. So how do you get a hold of him? You can call 502-326-2319, or you can email him at eshadowins@bmlo.com. Or you go to LinkedIn and put /Eric Shadowins, okay? And that's how you can sign up and get your free real estate investor tax consultation. So if you're getting started in real estate, please go listen to episodes 1-10. It's a mini course on how to get started. And Eric and I both need your help. And so the best way that you can help us here is please click a follow or subscribe button, add comments, share this with your fellow investors, and I appreciate that greatly, okay? And with that, tomorrow on. And I sign up for my free power lunches. I do those every Tuesday at 12 noon, running out of breath here almost, trying to talk so fast to knock this out. But anyway, we do that every Tuesday at 12 noon, and it's absolutely free. You can sign up at mikebutler.com. And so our next episode is going to be 1031 tax deferred exchanges. And wow, that's a big one. So get ready for that one. And that's how you can defer capital gains taxes. And that's what's going to happen in the next episode. Adios. Thank you, Eric, so much. You're a genius, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. Adios.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.